This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The Canadian Mental Health Association wrote the following in its Men and Mental Illness paper in 2007. It's being called a silent crisis, a sleeper issue, but there are signs that this sleeper is at last awakening. Around the world, studies, surveys, web networks, journals, and newspaper articles are shedding light on a shadowy subject, men's mental health. Now, almost 8 years later, the Movember Foundation is the largest funder of targeted mental health programs for men in Canada. The foundation's investment surpasses the total amount of money all levels of government across Canada have devoted to the issue. And Movember's addition of men's mental health to its roster of supported initiatives is only in its second year. Progress has been made in raising awareness about mental health illness in Canadian society, but some real challenges remain in educating and helping specific groups of Canadians, and that includes men.
We're joined in the studio by Theo Boer. He's the Executive Director of Nanaimo Men's Centre, and on the phone by Grant Waldman. He's the Executive Director of the West Coast Men's Support Society in Duncan. Welcome back to People First Radio, both of you.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Thanks, Kevin.
Theo Boer, let's begin with you. Depression seems to be the easiest mental illness to speak about, partly because it's so common. I'm making an assumption here. And because significant awareness has already been raised, but there are specific issues related to men and depression. Tell us more about that.
Well, it's interesting, Kevin. I met earlier this week with Dr. John Olaf from UBC, who's doing a Movember-funded project research on male depression and male suicide. And one of the things that he told me, which I didn't know, we know that men commit suicide far more frequently than women, but the piece I didn't know is that female depression is diagnosed much more frequently in women than in men, which is kind of an interesting contradiction, if you will, in the sense of men committing suicide so much more frequently. And what he seemed to think, and I tend to agree with him, is that we need to look at male depression a little differently than we have been. We need to look at it from the a perspective of creating a different set of symptomology or a different way of diagnosing male depression, because we seem to be missing the boat on that.
Grant Waldman, what have you observed at West Coast Men's Society in terms of men and depression?
Thanks, Kevin. No, I agree with what Dr. Olaf has to say, and I agree with what Theo has to say about men and depression. And what I've witnessed at West Coast Men is that depression with men has a lot to do with men isolating, with men not reaching out, not showing up, and asking for help. So I have. You know, that has been my impression from the men that I have worked with over the past number of years, is that men would prefer to be alone and not to admit to having an issue rather than being helped with their depression.
Now, John Olaf, I think we've been mentioning his name. He's a professor affiliated with the Men's Health Research Program at University of British Columbia. He wrote a recent piece in Vancouver Sun, and I'm quoting from that piece. Men are formally diagnosed with depression at half the rate of women, but their suicide rate is 3 to 4 times that of women. We've been acknowledging that. Men often exhibit irritability, aggression, substance overuse, overengagement in work and sports. And these can be cardinal signs of depression in men. Theo Boer, what have you heard and observed in terms of the way that men exhibit potential depression?
Well, I think one of the things about male depression is that, and this is my personal perspective, I don't know if it's backed up by research, but I think men are much better much higher functioning than women being in a state of depression. And linking depression and suicide, I think what we see is that when men get to a place of wanting to commit suicide, they're much more wanting to follow through on it, whereas I think women frequently with suicide, it's partially or wholly a cry for help. I think men are less likely to approach suicide from that perspective.
Grant Waldman, suicide in men has been described as a silent epidemic, and it's an epidemic because of its high incidence and substantial contribution to men's mortality. And it's silent because of a lack of public awareness and explanatory research and the reluctance of men to seek help for suicide-related concerns. And you were speaking a little bit in that direction earlier. What have you observed in your work, and what have you obtained in terms of knowledge from your reading and your studying in this area? What have you observed about suicide in men?
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. What I have noticed time and time again with the male clients that come into my office is that, again, their teaching, how they were brought up, how they were raised, the messaging that they received growing up was that, it's better for them to tough it out, it's better for them to go it alone than for them to admit to being vulnerable, to admit to being in a place of weakness. They would rather commit suicide, finish the job, so to speak, rather than asking for help, rather than showing up and saying, look at me, I'm in a vulnerable state. So they'd rather not get into a situation where they have to admit defeat. The men that I've met would rather stay busy going out there and doing things, rather than stopping and taking a look in the mirror and saying, this is not working for me.
I found some information online at the BC Medical Journal or bcmedicaljournal.com. An interview-based study of men who had attempted suicide suggested that social stressors, and they list the following: family breakdown, overwork, employment insecurity, often combined with alcohol or drug abuse, are understudied contributors to male suicide. Some evidence suggests that occupational stress contributes more strongly to male than female suicide. Theo Boer, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that's probably very true. You mentioned earlier the statistic of male suicide versus female suicide being 3 to 4 versus 1. We also know that in the process of separation and divorce, men commit suicide about 8 to 1. And older men over 65 in the process of separation or divorce, it's about 12 to 1. But I think these rates are actually still underestimated. I think there are lots of incidents of suicide that aren't classified as such. Things like drug overdoses, car accidents, suicide by cop. I think there's lots of incidents where men die because they choose to, but it's not an obvious situation where it would be classified as a suicide.
Grant Waldman, in your work, have you come into contact with men who are, you might say, survivors of suicide attempts? Are there people who are able or willing or both to talk about their experiences in feeling suicidal and moving beyond that?
Well, unfortunately, Kevin, first of all, I'd like to acknowledge and agree with what Theo said around the measurements of suicide and how, incidents such as car accidents or drug overdoses aren't reported as suicide and quite often are for men. And I have met, a number of men who have had suicidal tendencies, suicidal ideation, whether they're Caucasian or First Nations men, men of various socioeconomic backgrounds, who have been had a chronic depression history and are just getting to the have gotten to the point of being tired and fed up of being in that place. And again, rather than trying to figure out what they need to do to change their mindset, to change their life, they would rather think about the suicide approach, because again, these men have been raised to tough it out. The concept of men dealing with issues at work and dealing with various family issues and so on. They just have not been taught to really sit down and take a good look at the situation and work through it. They have been taught to just work through it in a doing fashion rather than working through it in an emotional fashion and again seeking help in that way.
Theo, let's turn our discussion to self-esteem. Self-esteem appears to be a large factor for men in mental health. What are your thoughts about self-esteem and its impacts?
Well, obviously, there's a connection between self-esteem and depression and suicide. But I think it's not surprising that we see a lot of men with these kinds of challenges. When we look at the broader context of the society that we're living in, we look at the media, and there's a lot of negative messages about men in cartoons, in jokes, in sitcoms, news items. The other day, for instance, there was an item about a international commission of some sort looking at the missing and murdered Aboriginal women, saying that Canada has a legal obligation to do something about this. And all of that, of course, is important, and I don't mean to take anything away from that. But what's lost in that picture is that there are actually more Aboriginal missing and murdered men than there are women. But nobody talks about that. You look at the international situation of Boko Haram, missing schoolgirls. It's a horrible, horrible tragedy. Again, there's more missing schoolboys than there is missing schoolgirls. So when we look at these situations, why is the media painting it that way? I think there's a lot of reasons why they're doing that. But the message that goes out is that men are expendable, men are unworthy victims. And that piece doesn't really, it gets lost in the shuffle. And there's lots of examples of how those negative images are pervasive. They're all around us. In the bureaucracies that we have today, in the institutions, in our schools. So I don't think it's surprising that there's a lot of men with low self-esteem, and male depression and male suicide is higher than, certainly male suicide is higher than female suicide.
Grant Waldman, your thoughts on self-esteem and its effects?
Yeah, I again agree with what Theo has said, and again, it comes back to what I've stated earlier, that it is the messaging in society. It goes to the highest levels in government, and how men are portrayed in the media, and the messaging that young boys receive growing up, and teenagers, and so on, about how boys and men are to act in society. So the self-esteem issue for boys and for men is really around, this is how it's their response to how they are being told to be in society, and they're not really being given the tools or the sense of empowerment, whether it's in school or at home, amongst their peers, to feel good, to feel proud about themselves and how and who they are in the world.
Now, you fellows are both responsible for the operations, along with your staff and volunteers, of two men's centers. What do you have that might meet the need of men who are experiencing some of the things we've been discussing? what types of programs are available? Are there any events or any referrals that you can make at this point in time? Let's start with you, Theo.
Well, we have a number of programs. Most of them revolve around counseling one-on-one for men. We also have various support groups. One of the other pieces that I wanted to mention, which I think is really critical around self-esteem and the other issues we're talking about, is we're living in a society where there are so many boys growing up without their fathers or really good male role models. And I think that's a really significant piece as well. And so that's something that we keep in mind with a lot of our programs, is the underlying concept that we want to keep fathers connected with their children.
Grant Waldman.
Thanks, Kevin. And yes, we also offer various programs, including one-on-one counseling, along with peer support groups. And, you know, all these programs are about inviting men to take responsibility for their well-being and to reinforce to these men that they are worth it, that they, you know, it's really reminding these men who they are and their importance to themselves and to those, you know, their families, their community. So that's a big piece around the type of work we do here, is to really invite men to remember, you know, their value, their self-worth, and to go from there, because quite often that is the underlying reason for how they show up in their lives or don't show up, because of how they've been raised, really not to recognize their worth.
Theo Boyer, Grant Waldman, thanks to both of you for taking the time to join us today. I look forward to speaking with you again. We'll catch up with you in a few months. All the best.
Thanks, Kevin, for having us on your show.
Thanks, Theo.
Theo Boyer is Executive Director of the Nanaimo-based Men's Center. You can find them online at themenscenter.ca. Grant Waldman is Executive Director of West Coast Men's Support Society, located in Duncan. You can find them online at westcoastmen.org. We'd also like to acknowledge the help we received from the website of the Canadian Mental Health Association, the National Institute of Mental Health, and others in preparation of this segment.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.